Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way. Welcome back to the WAG podcast. Just want to start this episode by reminding everybody that we are collecting questions from you, specific questions. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you want to ask us about. And we'll
That's what a question is, guys.
And we'll answer that for you on this podcast. So if you want to do that, head to www.workingagainstgravity.com/podcast. Scroll down. You will see start a recording. I think it works best if you do it from your actual browser on your phone or from your...
Versus
some people were like clicking the link through Instagram or through something else and it's not working that way.
Don't be doing that, guys.
So, or do it from a desktop computer, preferably in a quiet place. Give us your name, where you're from, and your question, and we're going to play it on the air, and then we are going to answer that for you. We have gotten a bunch of really cool questions from the community, and we're really excited to have a conversation with you guys while we're having a conversation with each other.
Oh my God, this is some kind of podcast inception.
Yeah, exactly. But today's episode is going to be about competition nutrition. So we're recording this. The CrossFit Games is starting tomorrow.
And just a side note, it's pretty effing wild that it's 30 hours away from starting and we have no idea what the first workout is. It's so exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Dave Castro is playing games with everybody as usual. And I mean, this is really my only sport that I follow. So I am pretty pumped. I'm like reading the morning chalk up every morning. I'm subscribed to their YouTube channel. I'm going to be watching all the update videos. I am so pumped.
And I have watched you for now the fourth year in a row prepare your athletes for the CrossFit Games. Mm-hmm. And first off, it's just so incredibly inspiring to see how consistent you are with your athletes. I think we've talked about this on maybe the last Brute podcast we did, but you've been working with some of these athletes like Katrin for 4 years, and I think you've missed 2 check-ins total. And when I say miss, I mean like you took a week off like 2 or 3 times. And it's just really inspiring to see how you show up as a coach.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks. And I wanted to take advantage of competition nutrition being fresh on your mind because I know that so many of our listeners and our members are just fascinated with it. They're trying to qualify for sanctionals. They want to know how to compete better in local meets. And I want to just suck all of that, those knowledge bombs out of your head while it's fresh on your mind.
I think that a lot of what we're going to talk about too probably applies to more than just competition. It applies to achieving any type of goal or to getting yourself ready for a peak or, you know, like growing, or it can be applied to more than just competition, but we're going to be talking about that specifically.
Very meta. Okay, let's start here. Where do you think are the biggest myths that people have about competition nutrition?
The most common things that I see people doing is maybe it's like...
Mistakes and myths.
Mistakes. The most common things is that people think there's something like a magic secret, like something I do on this competition weekend is going to give me an edge or an advantage over my competitors. And I think that that is true, but only in context with the rest of the work that you've done over the entire year or the past years or the training program. It's kind of like somebody going to a powerlifting meet and thinking that if they do specific things in the gym that week, like the week of the meet, if they do a specific type of squat or they do like a specific type of taper.
A quarter squat at 150%.
Yeah, exactly. Like something like that. And that's going to be the advantage that they get, like the magic secret that's going to help them compete better. And I think that's in most cases absolutely not true.
Right. Is there anything else?
I don't know if this is like myths, but we could talk about like mistakes people make. Like people make the mistakes that people make are that they think there's this magic thing, so they change their what they've got going on. Mm-hmm. Like they'll all of a sudden take a new supplement or think that I'm going to take this pre-workout that
I have to tell you this. This just popped into my head. So you know I trained for the marathon in 2008. I ran one marathon, guys, and I trained my ass off. And for most of the time, I was actually vegetarian. I had this very liberal teacher who convinced me to be vegetarian for a while. And then at the very end, I started eating meat again. But I was just like very, very healthy. And the night before the race, I ate two enormous plates of pasta from, I think it's called Noodles & Co.
Okay.
It's like popular chain, and I felt so sick the next day.
Oh my gosh. See, yeah, that is exactly what I mean by mistake. Like you think that there's this magic thing. I'm going to have these two plates of pasta and that's going to make me feel incredible on the day of. And it's the secret that nobody else knows about.
I'm going to have NOS.
Yeah. Or I'm going to try a new supplement, or I'm going to have this new energy drink, or I'm going to eat something different. And that's a huge mistake. I think I've seen people more often than not crash and burn because of that. It's happened to me. I remember at a weightlifting meet in Miami, I think it was like the Seoul Open, I decided, I was with John North and he was like, take some C4. Because at the time he was just like, pre-workout. I took C4. I've never taken C4 in my life before. I bombed out of Clean and Jerk because I literally couldn't stop myself from passing out. So terrible idea, rookie mistake at the time. And I haven't made that mistake since. But that's one of the other big mistakes that I see people making when it comes to competition nutrition.
I think John North mainlines C4, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Are there any other big mistakes that you see people making?
I mean, along the same lines of that, people stress about, like they're just really stressing about their nutrition and their training the week of a competition. I think it's just there's nerves and you want something to stress about or something to focus those nerves on. And maybe you're not feeling your best 100% or you're just really nervous about what's coming up. And you want to be like, well, you know, eating something different is going to take my stress away.
That's really insightful.
I think like you start doubting everything. You start doubting, I'm not eating the right things, or I'm not prepared the right way, or my taper's not going right. Maybe I need to like hit a hard workout the day before, something like that. That doubt, I think, is also a big mistake.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way. I think people, and I know from experience, like we have before competition, we just have physical sensations that are like anxiety or fear or whatever they may be. And the human mind tends to just try to justify and put stories to those physical sensations. And so it makes sense. And we always want to make them go away, right? We want to get rid of that discomfort. And one of the main ways that people try to get rid of physical discomfort is by eating.
Yeah, totally.
And so they start overthinking their nutrition. It mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I think that is a great segue into sort of your main philosophy in terms of in competition versus the rest of the season. How do you think about the relationship between nutrition throughout the year and in competition?
There is definitely different things that we're doing in competition versus during the year. But what I always tell the athletes, I give them pretty much the same pep talk every single year before the CrossFit Games. And the pep talk goes something along the lines of, nothing that you do this weekend is going to take away all of the hard work that you've been doing for the past years. You know, if your nutrition doesn't go 100% perfectly to plan, that doesn't mean that you're not going to perform to the best of your ability. At this point, your body knows what to do. It knows how to use the fuel that you're going to give it. It's done this a million times before. And at this point, it's just trusting that you're going to show up ready to perform and to show the fruits of your labor. The hard work is done at that point, and now it's just trying to keep things as consistent as possible and close to what you're used to, with like a couple different changes, of course, because competition comes with higher stress, higher adrenaline, higher energy output. So they're eating more. They're eating, trying to not have certain things around workouts or to eat extra at certain times, that type of thing. So I just try and remind them that the work that you're doing in the years years and years and years, it's kind of like you want to make it to the CrossFit Games. You don't get to just like train for 1 year and then make it to the CrossFit Games. Most people don't get to do that. If you've never, unless you've been like an NFL player or like you've been some type of elite level athlete in the past, maybe you could do that. But even now, I don't think that that's even possible at this point. And it takes years and years to build up the consistency and the base. And they've done that. So I always remind them that that work is the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a crucial distinction for people to get that are listening. Because if you don't understand it this way, I've seen so many people think like the week or two leading up to it and the actual event is really all that matters in terms of nutrition. And so they really allow themselves to slack off or just not be as dialed in throughout the rest of the year. And if you're trying to make incremental gains throughout the entire year, which is going to lead to a ton of growth, then you really have to have your nutrition dialed in, because your energy on a day-to-day basis is going to lead to a better or worse training day.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're working on competition nutrition really all year long. We're working on what types of things do you eat that make you feel awesome for a workout on a really high volume day. I mean, it's the CrossFit Games. It's going to be super high volume. So on a really high volume day, what do you feel? What does your recovery need to be at? What makes you feel like you have energy? Which days do you feel like you have none and your body's hurting, and how do we combat that? So that type of work that we're doing on the day to day throughout the year, we're collecting information to pick the best pieces to show up on competition day. And we use that throughout the year. We also test what we're going to do on competition day on other times of the year. So it's not like we're not just like randomly trying something new.
Right. So at this point, you're giving the same pep talk more or less to all of your athletes. But when do you start the conversation, and how does that sound the first time you have an athlete going to a competition? Like the first time you're prepping Katrin or Brooke or Cole or Camille for the games, what did that conversation sound like and when did it start?
Yeah, the first time I ever prep an athlete for the CrossFit Games, they usually have some type of like mock CrossFit Games beforehand. And then I talk about how are we going to set up this mock CrossFit Games, or they have like a sanctionals that they had to compete at, right? Or it was regionals at the time when I started working with those athletes. And when we're preparing for regionals, it's okay, we're going to treat this as like, what would we do if this was the CrossFit Games? And that's when the conversation starts. It's how much food can you prepare? What are you bringing with you? Where are you staying? Like all that type of stuff is happening in the conversation of the event that's as close to the CrossFit Games as possible without the stakes of the CrossFit Games, so that once we get there, we've like already tried, tested these methods.
So how does it actually work? What is a weekend prescription actually look like for some of these athletes?
For each of them, it's going to be really different just because they're different people and they feel better doing different things. So Katrin's a good example of somebody who really doesn't want her stuff to change. She doesn't want to like taper back carbohydrates leading into the CrossFit Games and then boost them up to like feel like she's got more. She kind of wants to keep...
Why would one do that in the first place?
So for like somebody like Cole Sager, he really likes to dial his carbohydrates back the week of, and then it gives his body an opportunity to utilize the carbohydrates during the CrossFit Games just because he's been a little bit depleted before. He'll carb up the couple days leading into the CrossFit Games, but he's also tapering and he's not working out nearly as much in the week leading up to the CrossFit Games. So he doesn't feel good eating a lot more. So he wants to feel lean, light, fast. That's how he feels best. So in the week leading up to the CrossFit Games, he's going to taper his carbohydrates a little bit. And then the couple days right before the weekend starts, he carbs back up. So he has everything that he needs to go into the weekend.
Okay. So what else are you thinking about for these athletes? Like, what are all of the things that you're considering when you're giving them their plan?
I'm considering who they are, all of the information that we've collected through the year of like what makes them feel good, what makes them not feel good, reminding them about those things. Because when it comes to competition, I feel like sometimes, like, I mean, you can probably explain this the best because you've competed at the CrossFit Games 3 times. And it's like, sometimes you forget all the things that you know, and it's just like survival mode. And a lot of times it's even like just eat enough. Like you, your body has been through so much work. There's something to be said of like sometimes your body just doesn't want to do the work of having to digest food and you almost lose your hunger. So sometimes it's just making sure that they remember that they have to eat and that they have to get enough food. So different strategies around like how could they get in food without feeling sick? When should that happen? The timing between workouts. So like if they only have 3 hours between a workout, it doesn't make sense for them to wait 2 hours, then have a meal and have that meal sitting in their stomach if that's not something that they're used to going into the next workout. So I'm thinking about all that kind of thing.
So are there any other little things like don't eat a big meal if there's 3 hours, like any other like bullet points people should be aware of?
The biggest one that's the most important is don't do anything new. So don't eat anything new. Don't try a new supplement. Don't do anything that's completely out of the norm. Another thing would be to around the workouts. I mean, this would be different if somebody was keto, but around the workouts, I tell them to keep their food primarily carbohydrates and leaner protein sources. Fat for a lot of people is going to slow down the digestion of everything else. And it also can feel heavier in your stomach. It can sometimes make people feel nauseous. And protein and carbohydrates work really well together. So it's going to help the body use that fuel.
Replenish your muscle glycogen if quicker. You're privy to that.
Exactly. So we talk about high glycemic versus low glycemic carbohydrates. So higher glycemic carbohydrates are going to be utilized more quickly. Lower glycemic carbohydrates are going to be a little bit slower. So making sure that their post-workout meal has something or drink or shake or whatever it is that they're having has a high glycemic carbohydrate
as well.
A lot of people use Ucan. It's like a powder that's not, it doesn't spike insulin the same as most other carbohydrate supplements. Or fruit, dried fruit. A lot of the athletes will do like a jam sandwich, like jam, right?
Mm-hmm. Jam.
Yeah. On like white bread.
Jelly.
Yeah. Like a jelly sandwich on white bread. And that will be something that they can have right after a workout. Some people will do rice and chicken or just a higher glycemic carbohydrate paired with a leaner protein source.
A little right chocolate milk.
Workout. And then keeping fat sources, because they do need to have fat. I mean, especially the CrossFit Games, a lot of the workouts go into like the aerobic cycle. So having fat is going to be helpful in that scenario. So having fat on the front end of the day as well as on the back end of the day, the body's going to be able to use that. So that's what they're mostly focusing on. Also, depending on who they are, some of them like to go to bed really full. Some people don't want to wake up and feel like they have a heavy stomach and want to have that meal in the morning. We're talking about bringing things with you. Mm. So competition, not banking on like I'm going to be able to run and go grab food. Bringing a cooler with you, making sure you have everything that you need with you or at least the essentials, because the worst thing ever is to need something mm-hmm. and then you're at a competition and then you have to like get a friend to go to a restaurant.
It can
to
be
get
very stressful.
Yeah, it's
super stressful. And take a lot of your energy.
So just saving as much energy as possible to have for the actual event itself and not to have to focus on your nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the biggest downfalls of most people you've already talked about is people just overanalyzing the whole their nutrition in relation to competition in general. So I competed 3 times and we won the games twice. And every single year, Tommy and Mary on my team would eat burgers and French fries and drink beers 2 of the 3 nights of the games. And then they would wake up the next morning and absolutely crush it because they were eating more or less very clean and eating to perform the rest of the year. And it just doesn't have, like one bad meal does not have the impact that a lot of us think it does.
And the only way that it will have the impact is if you believe that it's going
exactly,
to have the impact.
Exactly.
So a lot of times it's just like a mental game. It's if you have a burger and French fries and you wake up being like, man, that burger and French fries means I'm going to be slower on my chest bars and they're going to be more difficult, then that's going to make it more difficult. It's not necessarily the burger and the French fries. So there's also some athletes, I'll talk to them about not getting on the scale over the weekend. Why the scale is useful as a data point throughout the year to measure progress, as well as to see if what we're doing like how that's changing your body. During the CrossFit Games, it's a date. Who cares? Right. Who cares? It doesn't matter what you weigh on the scale. If that data point could, I mean, the only thing, it's not going to do anything positive. It might maybe if like they're a little bit lighter and they have a gymnastics workout, like they might feel better, but it has the potential to work the other way. Mm-hmm. So if something has the potential to work in a negatively against you, don't do it. It's not even worth it. Same thing with tracking your food. Some of them like to track their food to know that they're getting enough fuel in. It doesn't add any stress to them. It actually takes some stress away and it makes them feel in control. And then other athletes don't want to do that at all. They just want to stick to the normal types of foods that they eat. They want to tap more into how their body feels and making sure that they just get food around the workouts, and they don't want to track. It's going to add stress to them. Don't track your food. It's, I think, a lot of focus on how to conserve energy. Mm-hmm. If tracking your food is going to take energy, don't do it. Mm-hmm. If getting on the scale could potentially affect how you feel for the workouts, don't do it. It's totally not worth it.
And if you're in the habit of tracking your food already, you probably have a pretty good idea of how much you need to eat. You can sort of eat intuitively and be totally fine.
Yeah. And also working with athletes for 4 years, you get the opportunity to have certain sections of the time that you're working together where you refine that skill. So a huge thing that I was working with Cole Sager on this year is not necessarily tracking your food by weighing and measuring it, but him tapping into how he's feeling for that day and making sure he gets enough protein. But then, you know, carbs and fats can be more flexible depending on how he's feeling for that day, and then seeing where he ends up. And then that has helped him build a tremendous amount of confidence doing that with my support and knowing that he's working in a positive direction and just knowing, you know, somebody else is in it with him.
Right.
And then showing up on the weekend now at the CrossFit Games where he's not going to have a lot of control over what he's eating necessarily or timing and things like that. And he's like, I've been doing this for a while and crushing it. I know how to eat a little bit more intuitively at this point. So that's a skill that you can practice as well.
So if you had to summarize the 20% of the things that give you 80% of the results, what would those be?
One, don't do anything new or completely different. Two would be really focus on energy. So mental energy more than anything. Is getting on the scale going to take energy away or make you feel negatively about how this workout's going to go? Is eating this meal going to make you believe that that workout's going to be worse or better? Choose the meal that's going to make you feel like mentally, like, yeah, I ate that meal. I'm going to crush this workout because I'm fueled, not I ate this burger and fries. I feel heavy and fat, and now this workout's going to suck. So really focusing on where you can conserve mental energy and be as prepared as possible. So don't rely on trying to get anything last minute. Bring as much food with you and drink with you and support with you as you possibly can.
I would reaffirm, maybe throw an honorable mention in there to actually eating. So if you've never competed, you may not realize that this is a super valid concern. And I've never had this problem ever in my life. Definitely not in competition, but a lot of people I know do, and they just literally forget to eat. They're spending so much time warming up and cooling down and thinking about how they just worked out, and their stomach is a little upset because they're nervous, and they literally forget to eat, and they wonder why they just shit the bed mm-hmm. in the evening.
Yeah, so making sure that you at least are eating throughout the day, that is a huge valid concern for sure.
Awesome, thank you. Good luck to your athletes.
Yes, good luck, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.